very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. On the program, we prepare for our mission online, which starts next Sunday morning. I chat to Dr. Michael Conway and Dr. Keith Gaynor, speakers on our Mission Night Talks. Also, I chat to Mairead Hanlon about an upcoming fundraiser in Asti and North Kerry. Before all of that, I link with Amos and Vitalis, Bishop from Kenya, a Cork man, now retired, Bishop Maurice Crowley. Bishop Maurice Crowley, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Very good, thank you.
And I know you've retired as bishop in Kenya, in Kitale, is it?
Yes.
The only other thing I knew about you coming this morning is that you're from Cork. And I was up in the hospital earlier and I was told, I have to ask you, have you ever had a Cork drink, Tanora?
Tanora, yes.
Have you had this?
Yes, I have, of course. It was red lemonade.
Red lemonade?
Yes.
It's just Cork, is it?
It's made in Bandon or Clonakilty or someplace. But I've never found it somewhere else.
You'd never found it in Kenya anyway?
I think that it is no longer being made, but it used to be Tanora.
Well, it's a long time since your Tanora days, I'd say.
At least 60 years.
So tell us about Cork, because part of Cork is in the Kerry Diocese, as you know.
One of the things that strikes me, of course, about it is that they accepted the two lads here.
You're talking about Father Amos and Father Vitalis.
Amos and Vitalis, yeah.
That they were accepted fully in the diocese.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was an idea I got myself that we were well off for priests. And then other people were asking, Australia, Canada, United States, parts of Africa. And I said, why not try it home? So I asked three bishops and Bishop Brown accepted. I think it has worked out very well.
It has worked out really very well. I think he gave us two top-of-the-range priests there in those two men.
Well, they were living with me. I knew them very well. And, you know, their contract was 6 years. And I know people said to me that when I will turn up, I'll be sending them away. I'm not sending them away immediately, no. I was in charge of the two dioceses for 2 years.
And can you give us any kind of inside scoop or information that we should know about our two Kenyan priests, having lived with them?
You take Vitalis. His parents had to move from where they were living to somewhere else. And he had to move from schools because he didn't have the money to go. He's such a gentle fella. He was always nice. Amos, his father was shot during the clashes. He was living with his grandmother. His grandmother had a big influence on him, which is typical of the Kalenjins and his mother. But he has brothers and sisters. So has Vitalis. But they're all doing well.
Well, thank you very much for releasing them to come to our diocese. We've been delighted. But back to yourself now. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Cork and your vocation.
I came from a reasonable Catholic family, you could say. They weren't exactly gospel greedy, but we were a big family. Tragic, in other words, because my eldest brother was killed in the road accident outside our house.
Oh,
and my youngest sister was killed about 10 years ago on outside Arnott's in Dublin. My other brother died of cancer, so I'm the only boy left in the family. Mm. My mother had another tragedy in the sense her brother was shot. He fell over the dog and the gun went off.
Oh, that's horrible.
So my father was a jack of all trades. He went to class 6 and he refused to go any further. And the first thing he did, he went up a hayshed and he fell off it and broke his hand. And then he was a whiskey taster for Daly's.
Oh, my
goodness. And, you know, he wasn't supposed to drink it. He was supposed to spit it out. But he sort of made a few mistakes.
He drank a bit.
And
as well.
Then he was on the road. He had a taxi. He was the only taxi in the parish. And later on, he had lorries, and we had a quarry. sand quarry. So my mother did the farm. My brother and myself were sent to St. Coleman's. I don't think with the idea of we becoming priests, but it was a good school. So we did the 5 years in St. Coleman's in Pomoy. After that, I did the matriculation, and I was to go to university to do medicine.
You were kind of good at school.
Well, I was kind of good. This fellow said to me one day, he said, I'm going on a visit to this people in Wicklow. Will you come? I said, do I have to take anything? No, you take yourself. So off we went anyway. I didn't know where we were going. And we went to St. Patrick's. I don't know what happened. I decided to join St. Patrick's. And he decided to join St. Patrick's. Later on, he left and he got married in New York. And I stayed.
But you stayed the whole time.
Yes. But then even my career as a priest has been different. You know, when I was in the university, after the spiritual year, I was sent home from the seminary because I was crippled.
In what way? Sick?
I couldn't walk.
What happened to your legs?
I didn't know. The doctor didn't know, and there didn't seem to be anything wrong. But I was sent home. So I spent, I think, about 3 or 4 months at home. Anyway, one morning I was lying in bed and I said, I'm going to try and get over this. And I started with one step, then two steps, then three steps. And I took a stick and I went back to university.
So like an immunity thing that just maybe...
Yes, I don't know what it is. But anyway, it came on after I retired. And I have been 2 months in the care unit in Kilteagan. And then I got tired of that and I decided I'd come out. So I went
Excellent.
To my sister.
And you're walking at the moment, so you're
Oh, yes,
okay.
I'm nearly finished with it now because I'm able to walk and I'm happy again. Both times, perhaps I was overdoing it.
Hmm.
And for the last year when I was bishop, I was overdoing it. I decided I would do every parish, the 37 parishes I had, and to tidy them up for the new bishop. When I was finished the day he came in, I said, I'm finished, I go. And then I went touring Kenya. You know, I relaxed a bit and I suppose that brought it on.
When you relaxed after being so active.
Yes.
And you studied physics.
You know, that time you were told what to do. So I went in to see the superior and he said, you're going to university? And I said, thank you. And then I got as far as the door and he said, you're doing physics? You report in September. That's it. There was no question of consultation, which the priests and the sisters and the whole lot want now.
Have you that style and have you had that style in leadership that you just tell people what to do?
Oh, no.
How would you describe your style?
Well, how do I describe it? I'm not too sure because people have said to me, well, very ordinary, whatever that means. And I felt ordinary, you know.
Normal.
Well, I was very successful as a teacher because I was teaching physics for, I suppose, 12 years. But I also, when I got sick the first time, I learned how to do basketry and things like that. So I was allowed to teach others that. And I did. I still look at the things, you know, but I wouldn't be able to do anything now, making rugs and things like that. It was one of the things which I had to do. So I had to deal with the Legion of Mary, YCS, young Christian students. And so I learned a lot about those. And then it was just about the time the seminaries were opening up to outside influence. So I was out in the parish every day with the Makra and Thuha.
Beautiful.
And the result is that we won the Machan Show in Ireland.
Excellent.
In
Congratulations on
Kilteagan
that.
In Kilteagan Village.
Very good.
But so when I went to Kenya, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was sent in to teach a week after I was there. And then the parish priest disappeared. So I was a parish priest after 3 weeks. And
very fast promotion.
It was terrible because I didn't understand a word they were saying. So a lot of them got away with coming into confession and I not knowing what a word they were going to say. So I just give them a blessing and hope for the best.
Appropriate now to take a song from Amos and Vitalis, our Kenyan priests ministering in Tralee.
The song we are going to sing is Psalm 19. We are going to sing it in Swahili, and the title of the song is Mbingu Zahubiri, which translates to the heavens declare the glory of God.
Mbingu zahubiri utukufu wake Mungu, anga laitangaza kazi ya mikono yake, malaika wa utangaza utukufu wake Mungu, bila lugha hata maneno utukufu wake Mungu. Mbingu zahubiri utukufu wake Mungu, anga laitangaza kazi ya mikono yake, maneno yao yatangaza utukufu wake Mungu, mpaka kingo za ulimwengu utukufu wake Mungu. Mbingu zahubiri utukufu wake Mungu, anga laitangaza kazi ya mikono yake, hata mchana watangaza utukufu wake Mungu, usiku hutolea maarifa utukufu wake Mungu. Mbingu zahubiri utukufu wake Mungu, anga laitangaza kazi ya mikono yake.
Back to Bishop Maurice Crowley.
I was from a farm. We milked the cows with my sister before we went to school. We'd have to milk them, that was it. When we came home, mother would say, get your clothes off now and get them out and feed the cows. And we had horses at the time. We weren't rich. At one stage, we had 15 cows, but none of them were under 15. We weren't rich, but we managed. I think that is what I've been doing all my life, is managing. I was 2 years in that place. I was building a church, and right in the middle of building the church, the bishop said, you're going to the next parish as a curate again. So I went, I swapped with my companion who had been ordained with me, and then the PP decided he wouldn't come. So I was 6 months in charge of the parish, and then I got a PP and he lasted 3 months. Then I went into teaching a very big high school, belonged to the Patrician Brothers, for 9 years. And again, on the Monday morning, I got up to go to class and I got a phone call from the bishop to say, you're to be in another seminary tomorrow at 11. And I always remember that because the brother who was driving, Dr. Mersin, he died. I was at his funeral in January, I think. We were driving down the road, he hit a cow and killed it, I think. But I said to him, you better keep going because otherwise you'll get killed yourself. So I went to the seminary and at the time there was nothing in it. And the bishop said, you better go and do something about it, you know. So I started with only two teachers and then I brought four of my own students from the other school to teach. That was the beginning and it turned out very well. I was there 16 years.
And it grew into a big school, really?
600, I suppose.
You're very happy with how that developed?
Oh, yes. We used to get about 20 for vocations for different orders and different dioceses. So I have them spread out over many dioceses and two of them are bishops. Two.
And how do you explain, Bishop Maurice, the fact that there is such an interest in church there in Kenya?
Well, you know, the Kenyans are basically believe in God. Father Amos's people, they was called God Assis. But Assis lived in the sun. And if you didn't bother him, he didn't bother you. So they would be less religiosus than Vitalis's people. Because Vitalis's people would be mad on the rosary and holy pictures and all that type of thing. But Amos's would be more practical in one sense. But both of them would be very good.
How is it so different to Ireland and vocations in Ireland at the moment?
Well, it's the competition from the secular world. Why be a priest now when you are treated like an idiot?
Do you think priests are treated like idiots
at times, I do.
Because, go on, explain that to me.
Because they're doing something foolish. They're not married. What is the future for them? They're doing the things they did always. They're doing something which is absolutely rejected by society. But what they are involved in, which they forget, is that the priest is always there to support them. That, I think, has been forgotten.
You think it is very much... You think it's how they're viewed and how they fit
well,
in.
You see, it's there are probably good. Two things, I suppose. That one is the priest can be touched by an idea of secularism. Well, I was lucky in a way because I was a science teacher. There is the thing that the priest is more than a teacher, is more committed to the community, and he doesn't do it for pesa or money. That is the important thing that has to be stressed. People don't want that. If you do a job, you expect to be paid. Goodness gracious, I don't think there is any priest that is doing his work that is starving. But the priest is doing it not for money. He's doing it because of his dedication to Jesus Christ. The love of God is what urges us on. That was the idea in St. Patrick's. That was the motto. Like, I've met a wonderful priest here in Kerry. They're very dedicated to their work. They must be upset when they see that there's nobody coming after them.
They're very sad about it.
They're sad about
it. They're very sad.
But I'd like to see the bishops taking another look at what do they want from a trained priest.
What do you mean by that?
In Kitale, there was a man who was a dedicated catechist, but he became a priest. He was a special case in 2 years. He was working in the town, not in my town, but in the next big town. And when he died, the town stopped. Everybody stopped. And they said, why? He was hardly able to put two words together as a sermon, but he was there. He was there when they were dying. He was there when they were celebrating. He was there with them. It isn't the qualifications that you have. The qualification you have is your nearness to God. You're looking at Jesus Christ. He was in a secular world, but he held his own. The ordinary priest is a man of the people who can go around and just talk to people and sympathise with them and genuinely sympathise and genuinely be working with them.
Looking back over your long career, what are you most proud of, Bishop Crowley?
I was successful in what I did. No matter what I did, I was always interested in farming. I always had a little dog. I was very successful as an educator in Kenya. I wanted education to have a religious presence. We are outside the system, but you have to be in the system in order to influence it. The other one is you have to have a sense of humour. If you don't have a sense of humour, you're hopeless on the missions because you have to laugh. You have to laugh. I was glad that I found myself by accident where I was. A priest and a bishop by accident, but it worked out very well.
Well done. And thank you very much, Bishop Maurice Crowley, from Kenya, from Cork originally, then to Kenya. And maybe you'll be staying in Ireland. Who knows?
That is a matter we will have to decide.
Thank you very much for chatting to me this morning on Horizons.
Very good. Thank you.
After the break, I talked to Dr. Michael Conway, the guest for our Mission Talk Monday week, Church in Today's World.